Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever you may be, I hope you have blue skies and a smile in your heart. Welcome to That Other Lifestyle Podcast, where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the weird sides of this wild lifestyle. We are talking about red flags, part two today. Let me get the intro out of the way, and we can see what is on the other side. We have a website, thatotherlifestyle.com. We also have a merchandise store with such fine articles of clothing as the Feeling Good Looking for Trouble tank top or the premier Get Naked Safety Cup. Do you know about safety cups? Go check out the blog for an explanation. The Patreon is patreon.com/thatotherlifestyle. Sign up to get exclusive content or just throw some green leafy spending money at the show if you want to. The biggest help right now as I am growing this podcast is something free you can do for me. I feel like everyone says the same thing. Like and comment and subscribe, blah, blah, blah. You already know that. The best free help you can give me right now is to tell a friend about the podcast. Text them right now. Are you in a swinger group chat or a Facebook group? Post a link. Tell the people this podcast exists and it is amazing. Tell them my voice is sexy and smooth and arousing and calming. Speaking of groups, I have a group on SDC.com. If you are not a member of SDC.com, I have a link on my website if you want to sign up. Look for That Other Lifestyle under groups or businesses on SDC and join today. Please note this podcast is intended for adults only. It is not safe for work. We will be talking about topics of an adult or sexual nature, and I will use salty language often. This content is for entertainment purposes only, and again, only for those over 18 years of age. I also try to be as inclusive with my language and terms as I can. It can be challenging to formulate and write and say all the inclusive terms in every instance. For simplicity's sake and time management, I may use terms like husband or wife or partner or spouse for the purpose of the narrative I'm sharing. This podcast is for everyone, though, no matter your background, gender identity, gender expression, or whatever truth you may be living, everyone is welcome. Thank you so much for coming back for Red Flags for Swingers Part 2. If you stumbled onto this podcast from somewhere else, there is a Part 1. I encourage you to listen to that one after this one, or before, however you want, but please listen to both of them. Last episode, we defined red flags as any action, verbal, emotional, physical, that infringes upon, pushes, or attempts to negate your own personal autonomy, morals, values, or physical space. Maybe not those exact words, but I've had a whole week to think about this since that last episode, and I could put some clarification to the definition. Red flags, you know them when you see them. The problem is for new couples in the lifestyle, or maybe experienced couples, you may not know these are red flags until you encounter them in the wild, or discuss the interaction later with your spouse. I cannot tell you how many times my wife and I compare notes after a date and realize we caught the same ick feeling at the same time. Pro tip. Always debrief with your spouse after a date or a session of horizontal refreshment. Do it three times. The first, immediately after, check in with each other. Maybe have some nice reclaim sex. The second time, the next day, say next morning. Check in again and discuss. The third time, give it 2 or 3 days to just simmer in your brain and then reconvene. This gives you both plenty of time to process everything, draw your own conclusions, and then compare. This is how you figure out red flags. The other couple might say something that only one of you catches in the moment, and it is possible for our logical brains to shut down, and I promise your horny lizard brain ain't processing shit once you get busy. Giving yourself and your spouse time to ponder and mentally walk back through an encounter will help you both quantify and figure out the words you need to describe your feelings and actions and the feelings and actions of others. Red flags can be subtle, like one or two words dropped in a conversation, or it's super obvious, like a person disregarding your rules in the middle of a Morris Congress, or just a general vibe you get from another person. Don't ignore the ick. Red flags are either waved by the ignorant who don't know any better and don't realize there's a problem with their actions, or they may be intentionally waved around by toxic people. I went super deep on toxic people in the last episode. Toxic people exist. Toxic people exist in the vanilla world and the lifestyle. Toxic people can take the joy straight out of this hobby. I want to equip you with ways to recognize and defend yourself. If a couple starts planting one of these red flags, be it etiquette, situational, respect, relationship, or like one of those pesky gray flags, you need to know what to do about it. I quantify the different types of red flags into categories to make it easier to discuss, but truly some of these defy explanation. Red flags can defy a category. Red flags can pretend to be a green flag just to screw with your head. Last episode, we talked about etiquette red flags and situational red flags, behaviors we need to look out for that are generally considered bad etiquette in the swinger community. We also talked about situational red flags, like a person having to get smashed drunk, stumbling stupid, in order to bump uglies. Today, we're going to be talking about respect, relationships, and subjective red flags. The last category might not actually be red flags, depending on the person and who is looking. As I asked my lifestyle friends for their input on this episode, there was a common theme in their comments, especially from the men. And maybe we're tipping our hand to traditional gender roles and men being protectors here. We're watching. We're watching the other couple. When we go on dates, we watch you. Did you know that every date is like a job interview where every action is being pondered and judged? What you say matters, what you do matters, and how you treat others around us matters. We watch how you treat your spouse. Are you kind? Do you compliment your spouse? Are you respectful of them? Are you respectful of our partners? Maybe the waitstaff at a restaurant? We are watching how you behave in public and in private. The reason we watch, and this was backed up by a bunch of my friends, so this just ain't me making shit up. We want to see how you treat others around us to make sure that you will treat our spouse with respect. If you do not treat your own spouse with respect, then how can I trust that you will treat my spouse with respect? Keep in mind for all those newbies out there, my wife, our wives and husbands and partners collectively are the most important people in the world to us. We love our spouses. We love them with our whole minds and bodies and souls. My wife is the other half of my brain. I want to make sure, double and triple sure, that anyone who may approach her with lust in their eyes meets my standards. I want to make sure that anyone we interact with, anyone we may get physical with, will respect our spouses as people and respect our marriage. There are layers to this. We will watch how you respect and treat waitstaff, valets, everyone we may interact with on a date or in public. Are you pushy and rude to someone because they handed over your change in a manner that upsets you? Are you rude to the waiter because, well, for no real fucking reason besides you want to go on a power trip? Did you throw a hissy fit because a minor inconvenience got in your way? How you interact with others is a big indication of how you will interact with us. Adding in another layer to this cake of respectfulness, you need to respect the discretion of others. If you're out in public with a couple who values discretion, a couple who could get in trouble for being swingers, don't play grab ass or grab a dick or the ever popular booby flashy. People can and will notice if the man you did not arrive with starts feeling you up under the table. It's all personal preference on this. I get it. It's fine. But if you tell a couple to stop it, you communicate plainly and directly for them to keep their hands in their respective pockets and they don't respect that, it is a red flag. Which brings us to communicating. Couples have rules on communicating, specifically texting and separate chats, or at least they need to, which should be respected. And if they aren't, that's another big old red flag. In the lifestyle, you have couple A and you have couple B, for my example. Couple A and couple B are communicating via texting because that's how everyone communicates now and is totally normal. I don't know the last time I got an actual phone call from someone. Usually for my wife and I, we will have a four-person chat with a couple. All four people can see and read and interact with the other three people in the chat. This is our preference and this is our style. This way, nothing is hidden. Everyone is on the same page. Everyone can see what the other person or people are saying. It's not a trust issue, more so a safety issue for us. Like I said, we're watching. Having extra eyes on this conversation helps. My wife may pick up on a comment that another couple makes that I just completely miss. Couples may choose to have separate chats, as they're called, as in the husband of couple A talks privately one-on-one with the wife of couple B and vice versa. Whether you want or allow this type of interaction with separate chats, totally up to you and your spouse and your own personal rules. That's not the problem. The red flag comes waving around the corner when, after communicating that couple A will only do group chats, the husband of couple B reaches out separately on the side to start a chat with the wife of couple A. This is a violation of the agreement everyone entered into when y'all started texting. If you have separate chats, no, not a problem. Willfully disregarding the agreement in order to have a separate conversation on the side with a member of the opposite sex of the equation, that's the problem. The problem is a problem because it makes me question. As we discussed in the last episode, questions are precursors to flags. Any action by another that makes you question their intentions or reasons, asking the why and how come, that's your intuition talking to you. Am I being paranoid? No, I am not paranoid because, as in the above example, we all agreed on one course of action, and a person went against the agreement we had. The husband of couple A is being disrespectful over our agreement, which then makes me question what other ways that husband would or could be disrespectful. Again, this is not to say you can't chat with someone separately. There are scenarios where it happens. Maybe we're at a party, and I can't remember the husband's name of a couple we met, so I reach out to the wife. But I can promise within 10 messages, I'm offering and suggesting we start a group chat to bring in our spouses. This is just me. I feel when you have an ongoing separate chat with a person, conversations can be more private and intimate and can lead to a person catching the feels. Kind of hard to profess your feelings for a man's wife if the man is literally watching all the messages going back and forth. It's better to keep that door closed, in my opinion, than just open it a crack. Poorly planned segue into a topic I decided to add in at the last minute. Wife poaching. Wife poaching is when a couple only wants the wife in another couple, banishing the husband to the realm of non-existence. Instead of going after unicorns, they figure it's easier to just peel the wife away from the husband, and that way they can get a threesome out of it, leaving the extra husband watching TV or playing on his phone. I really don't know what these couples think is going to happen here. Be on the lookout for wife poaching. If you have a rule that you always play together, stick to it. A girl-on-girl session can turn into a girl-on-girl-on-guy session quick if you're not careful. It could happen at a sex club where a couple tries to convince your wife to go upstairs with them, or at a party where a woman tries to poach your wife to go to a playroom alone, and her husband just happens to be standing there with a raging hard-on waiting to pounce. Flipping around, as we need to balance out the conversation. I don't know if husband poaching is a common act. It happens, it must. But honestly, I can't remember ever hearing about it happening, but yeah, watch out for husband poaching too. Back to the original script before I shoved in this note about wife poaching. After we set up a communication channel, the conversation will turn to rules and boundaries. If you're a newbie, I need you to figure out what are your personal rules and your marriage rules and your boundaries when you interact or shake the bed with another couple. Be specific, like no butt stuff and no choking. And just as an aside, what the hell is up with choking? It ain't my thing. I'm not going to put my hands on another woman's throat. Not gonna do it. But what the fuck is up with all these men wanting to choke women? I have met very few women who actively like that sort of thing who are like, oh my God, squeeze harder. And that action is usually only reserved for their spouse. To men, don't be sneaky and slide a hand up a woman's chest to get into position, or don't accidentally, in air quotes, fall with your hand open on her throat. Stop fucking choking people. The women in porn who act like they like it, they're faking. Assume all women in porn are faking. I know porn makes choking seem great, and a segment of women like it. Cool. But I'm using generalities here to set up some guidelines. Just fucking assume from here on out, no woman likes to be choked. Always ask yourself, if the tables were turned, would I enjoy a woman choking me? Again, another way porn is not real. Rules, that's where I was. You need to set your personal physical rules of engagement. Like, we always wear condoms or no choking, or don't stick a thumb up my wife's ass without asking first. Lay this out. Don't be bashful. There is a possibility that you will be making the beast with four backs with this other couple, so set those boundaries ahead of time. You don't want to be in the moment and one person does an action that crosses a line in the middle of sex, because then it gets awkward and everyone is standing there naked yelling like, what the hell did you do? I'm going to pick on men or cisgendered heteronormative penis having individuals for a minute to get my point across. Let's bring back Tim and Marge. They're a couple I mentioned a few episodes ago. Tim and Marge are having a date with Bill and Brenda. I'm aware I pick the worst names. Tim and Marge and Bill and Brenda are all in a hot tub getting sloshed on margaritas. Everyone is naked, bodies and legs and hands everywhere. Tim is over enjoying his time with Brenda in one corner. Bill is hanging out with Marge. At the corner of his eye, Tim sees Bill slide closer and closer like a seal flopping around. Then a rough man hand grabs Tim's dick. Tim, to his credit as a 45-year-old out-of-shape man with a bad knee, explodes out of the hot tub with the fury of an Olympic hurdle jumper. So what happened? Is this a red flag and a violation of rules and boundaries? It depends. Did Tim say that he was not interested in any male-on-male contact or play ahead of time? Did Bill state that he was bi and wanted to gauge Tim's interest? If those boundaries have been set ahead of time and Bill disregarded them for whatever reason, then yes, that is a red flag and a problem. If Tim did not state he was 100% not into dudes, then it's more like a yellow flag, actually. Do you have to explain your sexual orientation ahead of time every time with a new couple? Yes. If you don't, then people can make assumptions in the moment, and that leads to the awkward. But you say all the men in the lifestyle are straight, so I shouldn't have to explain myself. No. Not all men in the lifestyle are straight, and not all women in the lifestyle are bisexual or interested in women. I need to find my rant hat, okay? Let's just take a moment, prepare for this rant. All right. I need to set this record straight. Not all women who are in the lifestyle are bisexual or want to play with women. This is a big misconception we ran into when we started and a very persistent attitude. Oh, people say, well, actually, all women are actually bi and want to play with other women while the men watch, or maybe all women are bi and they just haven't met the right woman yet. The fuck? Do you hear how offensive that is? It's not true. You should not assume the gender expression or the gender orientation or the gender preferences of anybody. By that logic, are all men of the lifestyle bi? No. There are men who will freak the hell out if another man so much as hugs them with too much body touching. Some women really like dick. Some women really like vagina. Do not make assumptions about the sexual preferences of others. Ask first. Ask a lot. Ask if an action is okay before you do it. In our story, Bill should have asked for permission before touching Tim. You should always ask for permission before touching the intimate parts of another person. That's the next big red flag, disregard for personal autonomy. From personal experience here, I have been surrounded by beautiful naked women, boobies and vajayjays everywhere. And I am not touching a single person, a single part of their bodies without asking permission first. And it's not just like a half-hearted attempt. It's full on, may I touch this? Any point. They can say yes or no, whatever they're comfortable with, but never assume you have the right or freedom to touch another person in the lifestyle in any way, anywhere on their body. Yes, we engage in sexual activities with people we meet on the internet, but that does not mean you can violate another person's personal space or body autonomy. It ain't your boobs. You can't touch them without asking first. Those are a fraction of the respect red flags. There's probably more. There are more I may talk about in the future. In the interest of keeping this wacky train moving forward, let's all head into relationship red flag land. It's real nice. It's got a roller coaster and a castle, overpriced churros, got a mascot of a squid, big freaky eyes, because we're always watching. We are watching and judging your relationship. I say collectively, as in the other people in the lifestyle, we want to know your origin story. How did you get into the lifestyle and why? We want to see how you treat your spouse. We want to see what kind of intimacy you have with your significant other. We want to know that both partners are 100% on board with the fuckery. You think, oh, this all sounds very judgmental. You damn right it is. Again, I want to make sure that any couple we engage in genital dancing is in this lifestyle for what we judge as the right reasons. This could be subjective, but with enough general consensus, we might be able to put this over in the objective bucket. Which leads us to talk about what are the wrong reasons to join the lifestyle and why they are red flags. Wrong reason number one, trying to fix their marriage with swinging. This one has subcategories, yeah, but overall, my wife and I do not want to be sex toys or objects that are here to help you and your spouse fix your marriage. People can tell when you have a bad marriage and are using swinging to cover bigger issues. So what is a bad marriage to a swinger? Well, are you trying to balance out your marriage? This comes in with the origin story. Say, for instance, the wife cheats on her husband. She had a one-night stand with a guy from work. The husband is hurt. Somehow, for a dumbass reason, they decide the only way to move forward from the hurt of infidelity is to start swinging. So the husband can get laid, and then they'll both have had sex with another person outside the marriage, and everything is square again. This is fucking dumb. You don't need swinging. You need couples therapy. So this couple will become swingers in order to find a new couple for them to use as marital aids. That's a red flag. This couple is using other humans as objects, and people are not objects. Swinging will not fix a bad marriage, period. This hobby can make good marriages great and bad marriages divorce. Wrong reason number two is the dead bedroom. A dead bedroom is a married couple who are no longer physically attracted to each other. It happens. Again, couples therapy, not swinging. Since they are no longer getting their physical needs met, they decide they want to start engaging in fuckery with other people. We are not objects to help you satisfy your needs. Wrong reason number three, time. Time can be a red flag. The duration of your relationship is a factor. If you've been happily married for 20 years, I know that your marriage has endured trials and tribulations, and y'all are pretty damn strong in your commitment to each other. Boom. Good candidate for swinging. But if you've only been with your partner and you're not even married for like 3 months, and y'all want to spice things up with swinging, go buy a dildo. Try a new position. You have not run through all the positions available in just 3 months. Talking in generalities here, I feel though a relationship needs commitment to be a good candidate for swinging. In younger, newer relationships, people who decide to try this after only a few months together, that's a red flag. Running through this list to number four, We can tell on a date or in communications if one of the spouses is not on board or not as committed to this lifestyle as the other spouse. We can tell when one person is pushing their partner to do this. Maybe they have a nasty little fantasy they want to try out. Go buy a dildo. Before we bump uglies, I'm going to ask each person involved separately if they're okay with progressing. Any sign of hesitation from an individual is a full stop. If you want to go screw around with another couple and your spouse is not on board, try having a conversation about maybe functioning as a single person in the lifestyle instead of dragging your spouse reluctantly along. I cannot give you specific callouts on how to tell if a person is not on board. It's the general vibe, I guess. But if you have to question, you need to stop and check. If a spouse is forcing or coercing their partner into the lifestyle, that brings up one of the mega flags. Big mega flag. Treating others as property. Treating other humans as resources for you to exploit for your own devious pleasure. With experience, you can tell when a person treats other people like property or props. They are the main character on the stage of life and everyone is just in the background. And I say like property, but it can also encompass like using other people as a means to an end, no concern for the well-being of others, maybe a sprinkle of sociopathic tendencies, a dash of willful meanness, a smidgen of disregard for the feelings of others, and we got ourselves a nice narcissistic pie. Yummy. A person who treats others as property, and that includes their spouse, expects people to bow to their whims. They expect their spouse to behave in a certain way and other people to play along with their delusions, as in, we have to do this act during sex. My wife has to behave this certain way. Your wife has to behave this certain way. They just want to get laid, regardless if their spouse or the other couple involved has a good time. Everyone has to acknowledge them at a party or else they're crushed. Like, this is true center of attention sort of behavior. Remember that kid who, if they didn't get their way in school, they would piss in the sandbox and ruin it for everyone? That sort of bullshit. Self-centered, childish little fuckers. It's a red flag. They lack the emotional maturity to be a swinger. They want to force the world around them to do what they want. They want to be the focus and the center of attention. These people are fucking drama, okay? Headaches and drama and better to be avoided. All right, here I'm going to bring up another red flag, jealousy and possessiveness. I'm going to lump them together. What does this look like? Say you're at a party and you strike up a conversation and do a little friendly flirting with another person. Out of nowhere, their spouse comes flying in with the fury of a charging bull, upset that you had the nerve to talk to their spouse. You didn't know any better? You were literally at a swinger party where the intention is to meet and greet people. I've seen this. Men who are super protective of their wives, as in no other man can talk to them or touch them or tell them they are pretty, while the husband is free to like engage in whatever fuckery he wants on the side. Or maybe a woman who side-eyes every other woman who talks to their husband or gets within 3 feet of him. This is jealousy in action. This is possessiveness in action. This is a major red flag. This is the biggest flag we got, like sun blocking out kind of flag. Maybe they're insecure in themselves and intimidated by more attractive people. Maybe one of them cheated, now the other spouse is constantly on guard. Maybe they have childhood trauma that's triggered by Cardi B or flashing club lights. I don't know. Jealousy can be sneaky as a snake or obvious as a screaming flock of seagulls. Anyone is capable of it. Happens equally across the whole gender spectrum. It is perfectly normal to have feelings of jealousy sometimes. It's okay. You need to analyze yourself and your relationship to get to the bottom of it. If you encounter a jealous couple in the wild, though, run away. Don't get caught up in their stupid drama. I don't care how attractive they are. There is nothing but ruin standing beneath that flag. Been talking about red flags for a while, but what about gray flags or yellow flags? Flags that denote caution proceeding or flags of an indeterminate color. Like, you know it's a flag, but you're not sure what color it is. They're the little ones that make you just kind of go, huh. For gray flags, because not all flags are red. They could be perceived as red or they could be open to interpretation. For example, shy is not a red flag. If someone is shy when you first meet them, it's not a red flag of disinterest or not wanting to participate. Never assume all people are extroverts. Introverts do go to parties. There are couples where only one partner does the majority of communicating, and when you're together in person, the quieter texter talks your ear off. If a person's on the quiet side, it is not a sign of disinterest or a red flag. You gotta look for subtle clues. Maybe they smile when you make a joke. Maybe they scoot closer to you. Maybe they fidget a little bit more when you're around. Body language goes a long way in deciphering an introvert. Another flag of indeterminate color is having a lot of rules. I see this a lot with new couples. Rules are not bad. I tell everyone to have rules of some kind. You need to know what is okay with you and your partner. You need to be able to tell other couples what is okay. However, there are couples that will make 3 pages, single space, tight formatting, volumes of rules, and end up breaking half of them on the first date. General guidelines I'll throw out here for everyone. Can all of your rules fit on a note card? If I asked you to list out all your rules of engagement, how long would it take? Like, how many do you have? 5, 6, 42? It is possible to have so many rules that you literally limit your ability to have fun and enjoy the moment because you're constantly running through the list of rules in your head to make sure you're not violating some tenet between you and your partner. The issue with all these rules is control and fear. A person is fearful of the situation getting out of hand, maybe fearful of someone catching the feels or their partner crossing a line. They want to control the situation in every conceivable possible outcome, which you can't. You cannot foresee every outcome. It's better to just run general rules to apply to multiple scenarios versus trying to anticipate every possible issue that may arise. So I'm going to tell you, other swingers, they do see a lot of rules as a red flag or maybe a yellow flag because you have to ask. See, there's that questioning bit again. You have to ask, why does this couple have so many rules? Are these rules to keep a situation from happening or did a situation happen and now they're attempting to prevent it from happening again? I think new couples start out either with no rules because they don't know any better, or they go to the other extreme and have too many rules. You can do whatever the hell you want, but it is possible to have so many rules that you just can't have fun because you're always worried about breaking them, and you're expecting the other couple to keep a mental log of all of your rules and abide by them. That's the rub about rules. The other couple has to respect them. Make the list short and easy enough for a person in the depths of horny brain to remember them. And thank you so much for tuning in today. Remember, we are watching. We are watching for red flags in other couples. Take time to do a personal assessment of yourself and check to see if you have any of these red flags stuck to your back and don't even know it. If you haven't caught Red Flags Part 1, go check that out right now. New episodes drop every Thursday, wherever you may be listening to this spicy show. I always appreciate hearing your feedback and comments on episodes or suggestions or topics, so please feel free to reach out to me at our website, thatotherlifestyle.com. My personal disclaimer. I am not a medical professional nor a trained and certified educator of any kind in any way. I am a guy with a microphone sharing my personal experiences with you. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only, and please join us for the next episode. Whatever you may do today, I hope you have a fantastic time doing it. Know that you are appreciated and loved. Have a great day.